A warning for our viewers out there, this podcast is in no way affiliated with MasterChef, its contestants, or the production. Hey guys, this is Chef Kelsey Murphy from MasterChef Season 11, and I am here with my filmmaker friend, Pete Ferrero. We are here to chat about MasterChef Season 13, The United Tastes of America. Each week, we're going to break down every single episode, chatting about the contestants, their dishes, and all of the drama that is sure to come. Hey guys, welcome to The Real Eats. Kelsey here with my good friend Pete, and we are here to kick off the commentary for the finale of MasterChef Season 13, The United Tastes of America. We're here. We made it.
We made finale. It. I'm so excited about this. There's so much that happened in the finale. So many twists and secrets revealed. It was crazy.
There was a lot, going on. A lot, I don't know. Let's just like dive right in.
I have so many opinions about so many things.
I do too. The menus, the food, the people watching, the commentary,
the interviews. The families are here. We see.
They have that whole place to stack now. COVID is gone.
It's totally. I mean, it's filled like the restaurant for the restaurant challenge. Jennifer's six kids are there.
Yeah, the whole family.
It was nice to see they are true and they are here, right? Yes.
And six kids. It makes her like seem like her own little clan.
Her husband seems super cool, Italian.
He does like seem so Italian.
Yes, yes.
Italian stallion, as she says.
She did say that.
Yes, she did say that.
But she's saying that she found her inner strength that she didn't know was there, which I thought that was great. You know, I thought Jennifer's analysis of her getting here was a good one. What did you think of that?
I agree. I mean, I think, and this sounds really cliche, but I felt it was the same for me being a mom. You just, especially when she is six, like you lose an identity for sure. And so you lose this identity of who you are and what your purpose is and who you are as an individual and what you really bring to the table outside of just like caretaking for your kids. And so I know that that's kind of what she found during the season of like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is how I feel now, like my truest self. I haven't felt that way in 13, 15 years. And she's found like a renewed like strength in herself.
So I have to tell you something. I was talking to one of the contestants about the show yesterday, and they told me that Jennifer had a lot of challenges this year in the tag team challenge. That not only did Jennifer have the ear issue, but that at some point she was talking to Charles and she said, I can tell what you're doing if you weigh the item, whatever it was. I feel like it was in this one scoop thing, whatever the one scoop was. Remember that?
Yes. The dessert cake. Yeah.
Yeah.
The sticky toffee pudding.
And Charles put the scale on top of the item that he was supposed to weigh.
Oh, right. Yes. Yes.
So I have heard this story now from multiple contestants.
I feel like I heard this
on the show. And it's not been talked about, and I don't know if we can leave it in, but this person overcame some serious shit. Like, that's not a normal thing that someone has to deal with. You know, normally your tag partner put a little bit too much salt. Not that they didn't know how to use
a scale.
Exactly.
I
don't mean to be the
bearer. You used a fork with the other end, the pointy end.
I mean, like, come on. Aron says, Senor Grant.
Yes, that was awesome. Senor Grant.
It's so cool to see Grant with his kids, I said.
Oh my gosh.
And he gave this story about how he had such a hard time believing in himself. I have to tell you, it never came across that way at all watching the show. Like, he is super confident.
He's very confident. So, and I think he's a very like intrinsic person. So I think he holds a lot close to his heart. He's not like super forthcoming with like a bunch of, you know, personal information. And he seems more of a shy guy. So, I think a lot of it, he just very stoic. But then when he's ready to show emotion, does he show emotion?
You know, Jesus, we'll get to that.
Yeah. But it was, I mean, I love these little snippets, and you know, they did it with each one. They always do this in the finale. But for some reason, I felt this season we didn't get a ton of personal information about any of the characters. And so this, they finally showed, you know, some of their home life and who they were and, you know, what they're all about. And I was like, well, this is a little late, you know, like
it would have been helpful during the season to get some of this information.
No, they've done that the last couple seasons, which I don't really love. I know they only have so much time to talk about every person, but maybe before the finale.
The editor in me is like, too bad.
Right.
Kennedy. We just have to see her small little town and her bus. And
is so cool.
I just really love her. Yeah. You know, I mean, she's got the packages are really good, and seeing hers and her roots of being a small town girl sort of, and doing what she does and being on the grandest stage of MasterChef is very cool.
I think it really shows a lot about, I mean, we've seen, I think about anybody, we found out most about her and who she was. She was very vocal about like sharing where she was from.
Right.
Besides, obviously, we'll get to the later part. To see her like just in her element and, you know, where she actually lived and stuff. I was like, okay, this, she is so true to herself.
Yes.
Like, and totally the, you know, the vibe I got from her, like being from Colorado. And I'm like, that is a girl from Boulder, you know, like that's.
Yeah. We got to see Jennifer's husband. We saw Grant's family, and the mac and cheese with dad is very cute. And we saw Kennedy's sister, Madison, and she super cool too.
She seems totally awesome. They're like, obviously, you know, one and the same, it looks like. I mean,
all the former competitors are up in the balcony.
Yep. They got all the extras in the back.
I would have said, get out. I don't want to see any of you. Don't talk to me. Don't cheer me on. Don't ask for anything.
Well, it is. They were at least up in the balcony for my finale. They were sitting like 2 feet away.
Yeah, get out.
I remember that, because we didn't have anybody else there. So they were sitting like right there because.
No, it's like, this is what an audience looks like.
Right. You
know? Yeah.
Right.
Colby is rooting for Kennedy.
Yes. I think everyone stayed. Yeah. Well, I was about to say, I think everyone stayed within their regions. And I was like, oh, wait, no.
Colby was not. He said, even though I'm in the South, I mean, like, just.
They had to stay like within their. Everyone else felt like they had to stay within their regions. Like, nope. Obviously, Jennifer or Reagan was like all Jennifer.
I was just like, no shock. Reagan's for Jennifer.
Yes.
And Wayne, who is so good to see Wayne.
I know. No shock. He's for Grant.
Yes.
Those two are like blood brothers now.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Wayne sent him a t-shirt.
I hope so.
Let's hope.
I hope he sent him one.
So they have the dishes about to being made. What did you think of the menus that they were choosing? Tell me about that, because that's where we kind of get started here.
Yeah. So, and obviously I'm sure, well, they kind of always go with this, but they did want to play the region game, you know, like make food that represents you, which I mean, all these people are very prideful in where they come from. Like Jennifer obviously is from the South, you know, Grant loves his Iowa, you know, and Kennedy's just going to do whatever the hell Kennedy wants to do.
Clearly.
Right. So, I think when I heard their menus, it all made sense. They were exactly kind of what I would pick for them. I was a little
appetizers, yeah, then entree and dessert, just to be clear.
Yeah, let's just like break it down first. So we have a three course menu. Appetizers first. Jennifer is making a lobster succotash,
right?
With this like caviar vinaigrette.
Yeah, that sounded great to me, but the judges were just not. They didn't love that idea.
Yeah, and I understand kind of where they were coming from with it. The lobster definitely needs more fat. So they were really going crazy about this beurre blanc sauce. Like, she needs a beurre blanc. She needs a beurre blanc. I'm like, why? Like,
Right. That was like an overabundance of that information.
I know. And I'm like, she never brought it up. She never said, oh, I was thinking about doing a beurre blanc, but they just like offered this up and were like, she should be making a beurre blanc.
Kind of annoying too, because it's just so put there so forwardly, and it's like no one is saying it but the show, essentially.
Right. That's what I mean. I'm like, she wasn't saying it. It was just a show saying,
Yeah.
Or Blanc. I'm like, okay. But I understand what where they're coming from, that there might be a component missing on the dish, that it might not be super well thought out.
I mean, okay, I see where you're going with that, but I feel like, you know.
But like, wait till you taste it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like being set up to be a problem. Do you know what I mean?
No, totally. Yeah, I was kind of like, well, let's wait till we taste it. You don't even know.
Right. What if it rocked, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Kennedy is doing, okay. So this gets really interesting quick. Joe asks her where she's going with this, and she goes off the beaten path here in a way, which is amazing. Like, what she says is incredible. It's incredible that she comes out and says she wants to celebrate her androgynous side.
Right.
And it's a, you know, Joe seems stunned.
Joe handles it very well.
Yes. Because it's not like I'm putting the blue, this down for the, it's just a total, and I know though, and I know that this is a really important thing to her, and she was hoping, I think, that it was on the season more.
Yes.
And so she took the opportunity to speak to something that really mattered to her. And I think that's really important, and I'm glad that she did it. And
I'm glad she did it, and I'm glad that the show included it in the edit.
Because this is Fox.
Yes. So they could have very easily taken that out and
cut the whole fucking thing.
Yeah, there's plenty of other footage that they could have used. So I'm very glad that they heard it. She took the opportunity and they celebrated it. And
it was awesome.
We ran with it. Yeah.
Awesome. So, but Joe does ask, well, how does that tie into your
right, into your dish? Food?
Yeah. And she gives a great answer that she's talking about playing with different sides of her. This dish is going to be more of her feminine side, and then inevitably later she'll play into her masculine side and all of that. So what did you think? I mean, it looked beautiful as she was putting it together.
Her first dish?
Yeah.
So this is where I have an issue.
Oh, boy.
Only because this is the exact same dish I made for my audition.
You made this dish for your audition?
I made this exact same dish for my audition.
What?
Yes.
Do you think she knows that?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, how was hers different than yours?
Just like her, like just the extra like oyster and like trout roe that she put on, that like she did on the side.
That's fascinating to me.
It is fascinating. She like explained it and I was like, steelhead trout, crispy skin steelhead trout, a pea and tarragon puree, the crispy skin tomatoes on the bottom, or that's the tomato or potatoes on the bottom. Like, it was the same dish.
No.
So it's very interesting.
Your issue is?
I just thought it was strange.
Okay. I'm with you on that. It is strange.
Which is very ironic.
Maybe she didn't know that. I wonder if she knew that.
But obviously I love the dish, you know, like I made it for my audition dish. I loved it. It was great. Got me an apron.
Interesting. Okay. But it looks like it's going well.
And it turns out beautiful. Like her saffron tuile on top looks great. The saffron thing. I love how Joe was like, I didn't want to like this. And I was like, Joe, you want saffron.
God.
Again,
I was going to save that, but what the heck is going on with saffron and Joe?
I don't know. He's got a hatred for it. This I was is surprised the season also. Season
of saffron.
Well, I guess we can go to the commentary after we talk about Grant's, and then we'll go to the commentary.
All right. So Grant is struggling a little bit. He's
doing the ravioli,
which I just love that, you know, I've had that at Nancy Silverton's. It's incredible. It has to be done. A specific way. I feel like we saw that this season somewhere.
So I don't love we've seen it a lot on MasterChef.
Yes.
It's kind of a MasterChef staple. It's like if you make a lava cake, you know, like the ravioli, like with the egg yolk and then lava cake are like MasterChef standards.
Totally.
And so while I love it and it does show a lot of technique, I do wish like someone did it for our audition also, right. Also Matt did it in like our auditions to get an apron. It's been done in the seasons a lot. I do wish we would have like seen something different.
Yes.
Because I feel like we see it a lot.
But it looked really good. You know, like,
oh, it looked amazing.
But he is struggling at this one point because it's not matching up. Joe's worried that he's gonna have too much air inside. The judges, of course, are dramatizing the fact that it could explode in the boiling water. Bryn says, I can't watch. Okay. What's up, Bryn? What's going on? Are you coming on the podcast? I guess not.
I'm dying.
Then someone tells Kennedy, show us your artistry, baby girl. Can I ask you a question? When you're in the finale and your friends and family are there, is that annoying?
Oh, when they're just like, keep saying things.
Stop talking. I'm trying to cook here. Like, I've been so good without you here this whole season.
So it's interesting because when I was positioned, I was like directly next to all the contestants. Mm-hmm. And so the whole time they're just like screaming at me, and like Autumn, who was like, she was facing the other direction. So like, she was never getting all the commentary. She's like, if I was in your position, I would have like lost my shit on everybody.
Yeah.
They're just like, literally like, go. Oh my gosh. Yeah, totally. Like, oh, don't forget this.
Why are they doing that?
They're supposed to, you know, they're all mic'd. So like, they're supposed to give commentary and cheer along. And
it's annoying.
But it is like, honestly, you don't really hear it too much.
I mean, it's nice that the families are saying nice things. That's very cool. But it's also like, I don't know what that means. I have to focus.
I would have more of a problem since my family wasn't there. They didn't get the opportunity. Right. I would have more of a problem if like my mom was there just being like, wah, wah, wah. Sorry, mom, you're going to hear this. But like, I would have had way more of a problem with that versus like the other contestants.
If someone was like, focus on your artistry, baby girl.
Well, that I would have been annoyed with. That would have been thanks. Remind me if I'm burning something. But right, like,
exactly. Yes.
Like, help me out when I need it. Don't say baby girl. I would have then I would have thrown something at somebody. If someone was
kidding, Madison. But it was extreme. Like, just come on, let me just focus here. Please. Do you see what I'm trying to make here?
Right.
Anyway, let's get to the judging. Jennifer brings up her lobsters, succotash. It looks so good. I said this might even be prettier than her pasta dish.
I loved the like fact that you would see like the full claw coming out. Like the lobster looked so like succulent and just so full. I was like, oh, just give me that. It did need some fat.
Yes.
The vinaigrette was a little too acidic.
Right.
And that it was lacking salt.
And this is going to be a theme in Jennifer's meal that night. Mm-hmm. There's some seasoning issues, and we've seen that happen
all season.
So that's a tough one. I would love to ask her about that. They say that the caviar gets lost. And I think it's Joe that says some adjustments would have made this a top-notch dish. Mm-hmm. So this is where the beurre blanc comes up again. And they should have, you know, it may have needed a beurre blanc sauce is what they say.
Yeah. And again, I guess like, I like the idea of the vinaigrette because again, when I think of lobster, I do want something like bright and acidic. So I totally understand where she was going with this. I do just think, I'm like, okay, well then, you know, could you have done a little bit of like a hollandaise or something else, to really like find that fat? Cause it does read a little too light. It's just like, okay, you need to balance that out.
Brings up his raviolo. And
every time they said it, I was like, blah, 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 blah. Right?
They were happy that Grant took a risk, but he said that he did a 75-second poach, and Gordon wanted 30 more seconds. Joe wanted 45 more seconds. The mushrooms are slightly overpowering, but they all think it's really good. Aron loves all the seasonings. It's earthy and restrained, and he says that's really hard to do. What did you think of seeing Grant's dish? It looked incredible. It was a really good first round dish.
Yeah, it looked great. It looked really like rich. I immediately thought, well, and he like cooked the pasta great. You know, the ravioli was, the egg was running. I did think with morels and truffle, I was like, oh, this is going to need something to brighten it up.
Right.
because both of those two things, for my palate at least, can get like real earthy.
Right.
So you need definitely need something to brighten it up. But it looked gorgeous. It looked like an awesome appetizer course. Technically, he nailed it, besides having to cook it a little bit longer.
Right. But
I think that's like a small detail.
Looked good. And then we see Kennedy's artistry with the crispy skin trout that you mentioned. I wrote, yo, it looks so fucking good.
It looked amazing.
One of them says it looks like a cover of a famous chef's cookbook, which I totally agreed with. Gordon brings over Madison, the sister, to cook, to come taste it. And she says it looks like Kennedy on a plate.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a kind compliment. What did you think of that?
Yeah. I mean, there's no higher compliment than like your food being portrayed as you, that like, no, this is her, you know, like that's the ultimate compliment you want. And I think she was, regardless of whatever, like she was happy with it. Her family thought it was her. It looked incredible. Like the colors were amazing on it. I loved her technique of the smoked, trout roe and the smoked oyster with the trout roe. I thought that was a good idea. Obviously they had an issue with it. They didn't like it. I thought it was a cool idea, but sometimes those things, you know, just don't always work out. So, and like she mentions this later, but she wants to be a creator of dishes, not,
yes,
you know, so like, I thought that was a unique, you know, different way to do something.
And Joe says, there's nothing easy about what you're trying to communicate on a personal level, on a culinary level, but you nailed it. I thought that was the nicest compliment she could have received.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's, again, I think so much of her story is way more personal than anything.
Yes.
So to get a compliment like that, that's conveying both the food and her personal, like, not struggles, but like her personal message, I think is just so huge.
So looking at the first round, did you have a winner in your mind?
Yeah, I think Kennedy definitely took that one. They all had flaws to it. But I think all in all, I thought she won that one.
It's so hard because the judges are being so complimentary because families and friends are there, but they also have to do the job of giving legitimate critiques as well. So there's a lot more positive comments than there are harsh.
Yeah. And we don't see a lot of them. I will say the edit, like I even just knowing that personally from my own season, there's a lot of editing that goes into the finale to make it a good finale. Mm-hmm. So I think that's important to say. I don't know what happened. I wasn't there.
Right.
But just from watching my own, there's a lot of editing that goes in to make it look like it's a very even competition.
Right. So, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So,
okay. So the entree round, Jennifer's going to do a rack of venison. I love venison and I don't think there's enough venison.
I've never had venison.
Oh my God. Really?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? I've never had it.
All right. I'll come over tonight and we'll go get it some.
Yeah. Just we'll go get some venison. I don't even know if I could get it here.
I know. I'm just being silly. What did you think of this choice?
Loved it. Loved the choice. I thought the dish was interesting. I didn't picture Jennifer making venison, so that was a total curveball for me.
Well, we reveal in the family that they're big deer hunters, which was a shock. I mean, I don't know, the son and the seems to be doing the deer hunting as well. I mean,
he looked young for deer hunting.
It wasn't clear, but we get it, and Joe gets into it. He says he looks like a nice Italian guy that works in the office, and her husband
shooting deer
in a very Italian way says, I got four deer in the ice box right now.
<That's>
Something
awesome.
Is totally Italian, I would say. Yes.
So the rack looks beautiful. The concept of the dish seemed very like definitely playing what she was. I didn't know if it was very Southern.
I see. Well, hunting.
Not very Southern.
It's not. Fine.
So I thought there was like a lack of, I was like, where's the Southern in this? I get the tie to her family and stuff, but the whole menu concept was supposed to be Southern with French technique. Obviously we saw the French technique with the Bordelaise sauce and the potatoes and, you know, it was a very French dish. But I thought, I was like, okay, well, where's the South? So.
And They're really worried about her sauce. They're watching this. They're not sure how this is going to go because they're also worried about how it's going to be cooked.
Well, right, yeah,
that's the temperature.
That's huge. Right. And I was confident with Jennifer with that sauce.
Same.
One, she looked confident. Two, she was like, I mean, they show that a million times. Like, all she's doing the whole time is just working on the sauce. I thought it was hilarious. I was like, 60 minutes and all she's doing is making a sauce. But we've seen her sauce work during the season and it comes out beautiful. So I was like, always. She's got the sauce. It's fine. Like,
yeah. Grant is making pork loin medallions, which is exciting. I love a pork loin medallion. Do you?
I do too. Yeah. No, I love. Well, it's funny because I always like think of like pork loin medallions when I was like growing up and they were just like terrible. You know, like your mom used to make like pork and it was just like a hockey puck. Like,
totally.
The dish sounds great.
Grant says they're the number one pork producer, Iowa. I didn't know that. That's shocking.
I did not know that.
And he wants to show them what they're all about. And he's using some of his Southern Italy techniques. Is Grant Italian?
Yeah.
I just figured this out. So I should have been rooting for Grant the entire season.
I think he is. He's been talking about it.
Yeah, I know. It just connected with me. Sometimes it takes a minute for me.
I don't know if Gillen is a Italian name.
Well, he loves cooking Italian food for sure.
Right. Yeah. So the dish sounds amazing. I love the idea of the beer braised fennel. That's going to be, I knew I was like, oh, that's going to be great. Again, it's about cooking the pork correctly. I figured he's going to get all the other flavors nailed.
They're questioning Jennifer about the venison and the cook and all the temperature. And Jennifer says, y'all going to love it. She doesn't want to hear nothing.
No, she's very confident, she's right. Which I love. Like,
yeah,
you know, and Joe's asking, oh, well, how are you gonna know if it's done? And she's like, well, I'm gonna touch it and I'm gonna look at it, and then if I need to, I'm gonna temp it. Like,
and you're all gonna love it. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Kennedy's never worked with a rabbit, so she chooses the finale of MasterChef to start.
Oh my gosh, that made me so nervous. I was like, rabbit. Oh my gosh.
But she's cool. Like, Kennedy is such an artist. Like, she says this is going to be more of her masculine side, and she's going to look like you killed a rabbit on the plate. And I dug the shit out of that concept. What did you think of that?
Oh yeah, I mean, when she said she was doing beet before she even talked about that plating, I was like, oh, she's going to splatter it. We're talking about killing a rabbit. Like, I was like, I knew she was doing the splatter, which I wasn't sure how the judges were going to take that, because like Nick did it in the finale. In season 10, they didn't love it. They thought it was a little too crazy, because then he got eliminated right after that, before the dessert course and stuff. So I was a little worried they were going to think it was too outside the box.
So, I mean, now you're saying that that Kennedy was doing this. She copied your, I don't want to say copied, but she utilized your dish for the first one. Now you're saying that she kind of used Nick's dish for the second.
I don't know. I didn't mean to say that, but maybe.
Do you think it was an ode to MasterChef champions?
I don't know. It could be. Maybe. It's very interesting that you're saying that. I'm like, And he didn't win, but he got eliminated.
No, I understand. But, you know, maybe she thought she could do it better or best.
Yeah, he did it on a book. So, you know, that was a little out there.
It is very out there. Okay, Reagan tells Grant, you ain't got that meat in the oven yet.
Yeah, he's like, dude, I got it. Like,
you got 24 minutes left. I just loved
her commentary was great.
Just one show. I hope I wrote. Can they bring back Reagan next season just to sit in the balcony?
Right, just to be in the balcony and comment.
I know they don't want 2 years in a row of the same competitor, but just to make comments and do things like that, talk about someone's dish as they're cooking. Like, it would be she's so entertaining.
You know what they should do? They should just bring us and we just do the podcast live.
I would love we should do that. Wouldn't it be cool to do that as a challenge? If there was some sort of podcast challenge?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but
yeah, like, I was gonna say,
viewers' choice. They have to make whatever the podcast viewers.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
And we commentate during the cook.
I love how you say during. Is that like a Jersey thing?
I don't know. Every once in a while, a word will slip out and it happens. During. Cut that. Rin says that she's stressed out.
Yes, she couldn't handle it.
That's how I feel about Bryn coming on the podcast.
See?
I'm stressed out about it. So I'm glad that she has a taste of her own medicine, stressing someone out about.
You said that she was cool as a cucumber the whole season. Now she can't even handle watching the finale.
She's up in the balcony and it's too much for her. She says something really bizarre later on. So I just can't wait to get to that.
Okay.
Really, really bizarre. Okay. Jennifer Sauce is going to be the key, they're saying. Jennifer holds up her venison in the air at one point to the audience.
Waves it around. I'm like, careful with that, girl. Like, I don't want to be like waving your dish around.
People are cheering over that shit. I said people were cheering over. They have to let it rest. The audience went nuts over.
Love the audience like clapping every 2 seconds. Like especially during like even judges' commentary, they say something and everyone claps. I'm like, oh god, it's like watching the Academy Awards. I'm like, can we stop with the? Or no, not the Academy Awards. It's like watching the State of the Union address.
I mean,
One side stands up.
It's half sporting event too. Like Jennifer showing her waving her venison in the air. At one point, Jennifer threw a live lobster into.
Yeah, she threw her lobster. She was like all showman. Like,
she threw the lobster into the pot and virtually killed the lobster, and the audience exploded with cheers. Bryn says that pressure. I can't even imagine. I was like, oh my god. All right. And no Charles in out of this.
No.
Not invited back.
So, but Kendall was there.
Yeah, so maybe it was like top 16 because I don't think Amanda was there. I would notice if Amanda was there. Yeah,
maybe the top 15.
Yeah.
No, would have noticed when
it's hard not to. Funny. Yeah. Let's see. Kennedy and Jennifer are crying at the end of this cook-off.
The entree?
Yeah, everybody's moved. Everyone's... and touched.
Yeah, it's a big moment. Like, it's a very big moment to like get through that, your main dish. Because Grant even talks about, I think that was Grant. No, it was someone in the audience saying, like, you know, your entree is, like, your pivotal moment. Like, if your entree is not good, then, like...
You're out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of the
main. All right, let's go to this judging.
Let's do it. Sorry. I thought you were going to continue talking.
Let's talk about Grant's medallions. It looks great.
He sliced into the pork. It looked great. A perfect medium. That's how I like my pork. I know a lot of people go crazy if there's any pink in their pork.
I love it medium.
Good eat. That's how you should eat pork. It's okay. 145, guys. It's fine.
I thought the plating looked great.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. I love the choice of the gray plate with the white puree, and then he had the green sauce and the fennel placement.
The fennel cooked in beer?
Yeah.
That sounded so good.
I know. Was that Gordon who said he was like, any vegetarian here would be like overdosing on the
They should fucking try it or something like that.
Yes, yes. So good. It looked very good, and I think it was a great... Again, crossover of like in his story of what he's trying to portray.
That might have been the dessert, but that might have been the dessert that Gordon said that. There's stout in the dessert. We might have jumped the gun there.
No, but there's also beer in the fennel.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I think it was a great progression with the pasta to the pork.
Aaron says you could put it on a dirty boot and eat it.
Oh, it was agrodolce. Yeah, so we had that raisin and like pistachio agrodolce, which sounded incredible. Awesome. Yeah, the whole thing. He just played really well with the color and the texture.
I think this is the dish that really elevated took the competition, because as the judges are talking about the menu courses, they feel that, and we'll talk about the other two, but they feel that Grant is going in the best sort of order of a menu, right? Yep. And they really like his entree. As far as Kennedy, they're worried that the plate might be too avant-garde. but it looks incredible again. Like she put, made a picture on the plate. I mean, it,
yeah. And the whole, like the smoking dish. And,
so cool.
Yeah. It just, it's very her. Like, I just felt like regardless of if you like it or not, this is her. And so like, you know, take it or leave it kind of thing. And I don't know. I trusted her vision the whole time. I was like, no, I like, she has a point, not only in her food, but in her story. And I knew she'd be able to deliver on the flavor. I wasn't really concerned about that.
But I was looking at this competition at this point. After these two dishes, I did feel like Kennedy's artistry and what she was delivering was going to give her the win in this final menu, because she was, you know, doing things that were different and more in terms of the plate anyway, and the flavors seemed like they were good. I was like, she's taking this to another level, the plating and the artistry. And I don't know if the judges appreciate that as much as I do, you know what I mean? But it definitely felt like she was delivering on who she was or is, and executing that and showcasing her style and her menu.
I agree. I, especially the first two courses, I was like, this is Kennedy's to lose.
Totally.
And unfortunately,
we'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Jennifer's looks beautiful again.
Always. Jennifer's plating is always so spot on and just gorgeous. Yeah.
It's very, I gravitate towards it because it's very much how I plate. We have same kind of French cooking technique styles. So like I see her dishes and I'm like, oh, looks beautiful. Cause that's how I would want to plate my own food.
Anyway, one thing that they give her some shit about is that the way it's cut, there's inconsistency.
Yeah. I was kind of like, why'd you give her on the empties? They don't let anything slide in these.
Not on the finale.
No, that's why I'm like, ugh. It's just little things like that, but I've lived through it. So I already I know these things already. I'm like, I can't do that.
But that's where I felt Jennifer was not going to win this.
Oh, really?
Yes, because I felt.
Oh, even when she told them how to eat it.
That.
Yeah. I was like, oh, no, they're not going to let you win.
Yeah. I think this is, I think where you're ahead of the curve. I think you're ahead of the curve on that. Oh, no, that was this. That was this. Yeah. Yeah. Gordon says, I love that you're going to tell us how to eat now.
Yeah.
Don't worry, we know how to eat. So it was that, and it was also the inconsistency of the venison, the way it was cut, that they said it was amateurish.
This felt to me, though,
and also, like, by the way, needs more seasoning again.
Oh, yeah. This also, though, felt to me like, I don't know. I feel like, again, I watch these with a grain of salt, because I feel like they're trying to find...
That's a good pun.
Very much so. They're trying to find some things to say about these dishes. So they're trying to like even it out. So like with everyone's dish, you'd probably be like, all right, we need three good things and we need three bad things. And so they really try to find something. And when they're talking about like the inconsistency in the cut, I'm kind of like, this is probably a near perfect dish and they needed to find something that didn't make it perfect.
Hold on. I disagree with you.
Okay.
And I hate disagreeing with you.
No, that makes it more interesting.
For sure. But I just feel like there is truth that, you know, if it was on Chopped, for argument's sake, another show that we don't talk about here, and one of the judges, Arone, didn't get the same cut or the same thing as everybody else, they would chop you for that. So there is sort of something about being inconsistent in the way she cut the venison.
No, I mean, I get it. But I'm just like, from an outside perspective, I'm also kind of like, they're just trying, they're really trying to find things that are wrong. And yeah, anyway.
So then at some point, and I don't know where this is, I wanted to mention this before we get into the desserts. Bryn, who I've been supporting the whole season, says something bizarre. She says that she doesn't know if she could have handled the pressure of, she's struggling to just watch it, so she doesn't know if she could have handled the pressure of being in the final three. What are you talking about?
She even says, goes as far as to say, I don't envy them.
Like, almost, like, I don't want to be there. Get out. I was just saying, you know, get off the set. Really, you don't want to be a competitor? Get off the set.
Yeah, I thought that was very strange. I'm like,
it was an odd.
Everyone is Everyone wants to be in their position.
But everybody here, including Charles with his carcass, they all would have wanted to be in the final three.
Right.
So watching the final three up in the audience somehow made you feel like, I don't want to ever be in the final three. What was that, Bryn?
I wonder if
this is the same
coach to say that. I'm hoping not.
Oh, maybe.
Or maybe I'm hoping she was. Maybe like she was maybe. Told okay. to say something like that.
I'll back off. Maybe that's
totally. I don't know. I just don't know. Like
still, when it's still over. It's like, a big jump from Bryn is going to be a top competitor at the finals of this thing to I don't even want to be there.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I would have been like, this is super stressful, but I wish that I could have. What, you want more food?
It's the same sort of bizarro judgment with like, I'm not going on that podcast. Like she doesn't right. want the pressure of coming on and talking to us about her season.
Right.
So I just was not a fan of that particular comment.
It was a very strange comment.
Not for somebody who's been in a competition, who's a competitor.
Right.
Do you think Wayne would have said that?
Never.
Wayne would.
I bet that was eating Wayne alive not to be down there. Like I would have struggled if I was watching it. I'd been like, ugh, like, can I just go back to my hotel? Like, this is hard for me to watch because I want to be down there.
If Wayne could have taken a frying pan and knocked Grant over the head to be in the competition, he would have done it.
Yeah. Nicely, you know, just.
Yeah. I'm just saying competitors want to compete.
Minutes or so. Right. Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, I want to be in there.
You think Reagan didn't say anything like that? You don't think Reagan wanted to be in that final three? She just got eliminated as four. You don't think Colby was looking at that from the balcony like, man, I wish I was doing that. It was supposed to be my story. And you don't want to be in it. What was that comment? I'm in like total shock over it. It's more shocking than her not coming on the podcast. Jennifer's going to make an I love you cake.
I just let you go with those. I'm just like, I'm just silenced. I'm like, I'm just going to let him do his rant.
And now I gotta go from that extreme opinion to
I love you cake.
Yeah, Jennifer's doing an I love you cake.
So that would be a phrase that a woman who's had six kids would have. An I love you cake.
This is the cake that was served.
I wonder how many times her husband's had to make that for her. Because he messed up. I'm making you an I love you cake.
During a big fight.
Yeah.
But this is the night served on the night that he said, I love you. And it was sweet. And he
I'm confused. Did he make it?
I wasn't clear on that either. He definitely.
I feel like he did.
He made it. He made the cake.
I'm like, does he need Maybe to be out here?
He should be on next season. Right.
I'm like, wait a second.
Reagan says that Kennedy is not a pastry chef and she's cheering on Jennifer.
Oh.
I love that.
Yeah, she's just firm with like who she's rooting for.
Yes. I said, bring back Reagan every episode next season.
Right. Just like.
Let her do it again, the whole thing. She probably would never do it again.
I don't know.
Grant's using.
Tough sell.
Yeah. Grant's. Well, there's other people. I'm sure that's what the casting would right. say. There's yeah. other people
Maybe
that would
like other it. People.
Grant's using the stout, which you talked about. Very cool. What do
beer,
you feel
about a play on an affogato?
What do you feel it. About beer and dessert?
Love it. I love beer and food. So like beer and dessert is great for me. A stout cake is great. Goes great with chocolate, the coffee idea, like pairing it with some sweet and salty. I love it. Again, I've now done this quite a bit. So like I've done a lot of beer desserts and
right.
they're amazing. So if he plays it well, you know, like I have no like problem with it. They seem to be all up in arms about like, oh, stout and beer. I'm like, it's very common.
Kennedy is using making a black sesame seed mm-hmm. cake, which looks really incredible. But Kennedy says that she doesn't really eat desserts. And if she was eating desserts, this is what she would eat.
Yeah. Here
lies the problem with Kennedy winning the competition at this point, because I feel like while I know that her being artistic is really important, this is probably the moment to do something more simpler, but also creative and artistic and not too far off the beaten path. But she's really, really off the reserves here because she's doing this like a midnight Colorado night or whatever it is, and she needs
like Moonlight Sky or something. And then Black Sesame is it's difficult to work with,
right?
And not like work with, but the flavor can be challenging.
Yes.
And pairing it correctly can get kind of funky. I've worked with it quite a bit in baking. Yes. And I like still like I've gotten it, but I'm also like, I don't know. It's not like my favorite. So, and I, again, an odd choice with the white chocolate and the yuzu and the blackberry and the like there was a lot going on.
And she's having a lot of problems with this white chocolate snow. She has to do it 3 times, Kelsey.
Yeah.
This is when she should have known this is do something else, but it's too late.
Well, and that in itself worked out okay.
I know, but it's just
as soon as they said she left her cakes in for 36 minutes, I was like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, what do you mean you left it in for 36 minutes?
This is where Jennifer announces to the entire world that her husband is the Italian Stallion.
Yes. Yes, Italian Stallion.
It was amazing.
Her dessert sounds amazing. I mean, you know, chocolate and raspberry, great. I love mousse cakes. So with the sponge and the
looks good
mousses and stuff, I make those all the time. And they're very impressive.
What do you think about the liquid nitrogen? Both Grant and Jennifer used the liquid nitrogen. Have you used that ever?
I have. I mean, it's very... it's nice to have in these time constraints. Would you normally use it? No. But is making ice cream in an ice cream machine easy in an hour? No. Is, you know, setting or like she needed to freeze her raspberries. So like it's a quick and easy way to do it. It takes 2 seconds. So with an hour, a composed like restaurant quality dessert can be very tricky. So you need to be able to have things like with nitrogen, a blast chiller, like those things.
Do you think Gordon, Arone, or Joe would ever use liquid nitrogen in a dish?
No.
So that's my point. It's like, I think it's great that they use it. I have no disrespect for that, that they're able to accomplish that. It just feels like a lot.
Well, it seems showy. It's just, you know, if you wanted, like he obviously wanted ice cream. He could definitely have used the ice cream maker. But I will say on set, like when I was there, they did not have an ice cream maker that they felt confident enough that would freeze the ice cream in a fast enough time.
I got it.
And so like that's the only other way to do it. So like,
yeah,
I understand why I feel like it looks super showy.
Yes.
But
they seem amused by it. The judges.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Because they like always, I don't know. It like always shows up. I loved Grant's wife when he was using the liquid nitrogen. Like she looked like, don't kill him. Like she was so concerned and like, oh my God, he's using liquid nitrogen. I was like laughing so hard.
There was a moment of tension with the liquid nitrogen, and Jennifer wears it well. So, you know what I mean? She's got the goggles on and.
Well, they make you, it's really funny. Cause they the kitchen for legality purposes and liability, they make you have to put them on. Like we'd be in like the test kitchen, like working, like practicing and stuff. And they like, you have to put like all the jackets and the gloves and they're like, it's pretty funny.
Okay. Let's get to the judging of this.
Yes.
Jennifer, I don't know who said it. Gordon, I think, said it.
I'm
not exaggerating when I say this. I love you. How was that? Was that all right?
That was fantastic.
it's terrible. And it does look really good. The dish looks incredible. God, I wanted to try that so badly.
Yeah, she obviously just had a perfect balance of the right amount of chocolate and sweetness and textures. And it just... You know, like desserts, I feel like you can easily overthink them. Like Jennifer went classic pairing, done really well. It's perfect. Like chocolate is, you know, you don't need to go crazy with it.
And now I was like, maybe Jennifer can pull this off.
Yes. I was like, oh, okay.
You know, Joe says something really bizarre about being in a love triangle.
I love that. That was awesome. He's like, I'm in a difficult position here because
I was like, where are we going with this? But it was great. And So we really, I really want to know who made the cake, because I would say I love you based on that cake, but it feels like he made it and she said it, or he made it and also said it.
Yeah, I feel like he made it. Or maybe she made it and that made
and he him, said it.
He said, I love you.
I would. I
it's kind of like the marry me chicken thing that's like all over TikTok.
I don't know what that means, but that sounds entertaining.
There's like a dish that's like, you know, a woman made this dish for her boyfriend and then he goes, he marry me. You know, like it's marry me chicken. It's a dish. It's very TikTok infamous. I'll make it one day.
Oh,
well, post it on TikTok or Instagram.
What are you going to do if people start saying marry me to you?
Well, I'm taken, man.
So that's it. So why are you going to do that? Why are you doing that?
I'm going to see if it's actually that good.
Okay. Grant is up. He's got this stout cake. What is
it? Yeah, so he's got this like stout. He crumbled like the cake. Like, it's hand torn. And he's got this mousse. He's got like a coffee mousse and a coffee ice cream. And then a little, basically like a chocolate tuil. So a very Italian dessert. Again, if it's balanced well, will have great flavor. I mean, it's not going to read like overly sweet. And then he has a hint of this like black sea salt on it, which obviously when you're talking with about stout and the bitterness, you need that salt, which Joe loved as soon as he tasted it. So a solid dessert.
Yes. Kennedy's Night Sky in Colorado is very pretty. It's a work of art in a plate.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, but they mentioned this the first time that they saw her nervous and shaking and not in it. And Gordon says that the cake is dense, and Joe stops him and says it's more than dense. It's dry. It's more bread than a cake.
Tastes like bread.
Arone compared it to a bagel, which was really intense.
Not good.
And then that's when you realize.
Yeah.
Kennedy's probably not winning this.
Yeah, like a comments like that, as soon as that came through, I was like, well, then she's not going to win. So
the judges go into another room to analyze all of this. No whispers, very loud, actually. So they're just want everyone
free to flowing. Yeah,
they want the audience and the family members to hear the rude comments that they're going to make. There's no whispers here.
Yeah.
They're basically going over everything that we've just kind of gone over. And what were you thinking here?
I was pretty, like, I knew Kennedy, they weren't going to give it to Kennedy.
Definitely.
So,
which bums me out, because the storyline was so great and it would have been so cool to have that celebrated as a win. You know what I mean?
Right.
What her story is. But not, it doesn't always go that way, you know?
Yeah. not that we haven't had a, like, kind of out there winner for a while, and I'm including myself in there. Like, I am not like the most interesting MasterChef winner in the world. Like, I come from very like,
stop.
No, it's just give me a second. Just give me a second. You know, like I get it. Like, I'm not like the most uber creative that there has been, and there haven't been in a while. So I was kind of like, oh, like maybe they'll, you know, we're gonna get a really cool, you know, like creative winner. And then she put her dessert out and I was like, oh, nope.
Like, can I respond?
Yes, you can respond. I know you're waiting to, and I appreciate it. You're gonna fight for me. I understand.
I was just gonna say that you are an artist as well.
Thank
just you. Just because she went above and beyond in some more of a painter's artistry.
Right.
Your consistency and authenticity in your food is art in its own right.
Thank you. I really was just saying this so I would get Pete to talk really nice about me, guys.
But this is why you're the greatest champion of all time. let's get
And that's the thing. It's like, so they all like, and they said this, they all deserved it in their own right. Like Jennifer is technically sound. Her, you know, like she understands plating. She understands technique. And then Grant, he has a very clear vision. His flavors are great. He's like, his proteins are always cooked to perfection. Not the most consistent in the, you know, season, but I feel like he's really showed himself that like he deserves it. And then again, Kennedy, like creative, consistent during the season, but with that being very creative and being very risky can come big struggles.
Yes.
So It was, you know, it could be anybody's game. And they
we get to the end. Well, yeah, then we have a winner, and it's Grant. And he drops to his knees with tears. He's crying. He seems
ugly crying. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I loved it though. I mean, and he
I screenshotted a picture of himself to him.
he seems like the kindest person in the world. I said, and I got choked up. Kelsey, did you get choked up?
I did.
I think Gordon did too. Yeah.
I said all of America is going to be crying for this man because he is so choked up. Like his son runs over.
Yes.
He's such a good guy. Again, I am a Midwest girl. So seeing him win and like knowing that Iowa is going to be so proud of him is just, it's so huge. Like Indiana has been so proud of me and embraced me so well. So knowing that he's giving his state that doesn't they get looked over a lot, you know, that he's giving them something to like cheer about and put their foot, you know, put their foot on and, you know, bring them some recognition is huge. So.
So that's our season here, Kelsey.
Oh, my gosh. So anticlimactic.
Not really. This has been a fun ride watching this show. I want to say to the contestants, I appreciate that you all had some laughs over our commentary of your mistakes on national television. Apologies if anybody's been offended, especially to Bryn, who was clearly offended enough not to ever want to come on this podcast. And I just really think this was a great season. They all were entertaining in their own way. What did you think?
I had so much fun doing this podcast. I love it. It was a joy for me to get to do it and comment on something that obviously I hold very deep to my heart. And again, thank you obviously to the contestants for putting up with us. We understand it's not easy to hear further commentary on your food and on your mistakes as you're going through a very stressful time. But as an entertainment-based podcast, it's the nature of the game.
Yeah, it's also like tough shit.
But we love you all. We are all so proud of you. And we are planning to continue
the podcast. So it's not over.
Yeah, it's not over, guys. Get excited because we are planning to continue this into the new season of Hell's Kitchen.
I can't wait. Like, this has become a cool thing for us to follow these competitions.
So excited.
It doesn't even matter that you were never on that show. In fact, maybe this can lead to you being on Hell's Kitchen. Would you like to compete in Hell's Kitchen?
Let's do it. Yeah.
So I feel like this is a cool way where we can analyze this from afar and spend some time. Just, you are a competitor. You competed on a Gordon show. You will have insight into that for sure. And we can have a lot more fun because it's going to be more explosive in some ways. You know, it's very tough to watch home cooks. You know, we joke around here for a long time on this show, but really a home cook excelling at the level that they do here on this show is serious business, including Charles. Like all of them have a mastery. Yes. And they all showcase it in a really beautiful way on this show. And so even there's forgiveness in not executing your sauce or saying that you put the jalapenos on the dish for color. You know, there's sort of like, okay, it's okay. He's not a restaurant chef. He's not trying to be that. But Hell's Kitchen is a different game. We can have a lot more fun with this.
Yeah. And now I have the perspective of actually being a restaurant chef. So now I have that, you know, like under my belt. So I'm not just a home cook anymore, you know, commenting on the restaurant chefs. Now I can actually comment it from that side of it. And maybe I can get some insider information from Gordon. That'd be actually really nice.
That would be amazing. I'm sure we're mutual friends with some older Hell's Kitchen competitors. Maybe we can invite them to drop by every once in a while for their insight. I've definitely done restaurant documentaries. I know a lot about the world, so I'm excited for this.
I'm excited. It's going to be a wild ride, that's for sure. I love Hell's Kitchen.
It's my favorite.
I think it's a lot of people's favorite. I think it's the original show that a lot of people fell in love with Gordon from, so it has a big viewer base, and it's going to be just a totally different perspective. But before you guys go anywhere, we do have three exclusive interviews to follow all of this up. We will have Grant here, and we will have Jennifer, and we will have Kennedy. So if you would like to listen to all of their commentary about the whole season, as well as their finale dishes, You need to stick around for that. And those will be followed up right after this.
And for everybody else who digs this, follow along. We will be back for Hell's Kitchen.
All right, guys, that's it. This was The Real Eats. Stay tuned for the 3 exclusive interviews coming up next. And then get ready for Hell's Kitchen commentary coming soon when the show starts. In the meantime, please follow us on Instagram. You can find us there, and we will keep you updated on everything happening with The Real Eats.